Well, it's the second Sunday in January, you probably noticed, and the new year really is here. Christmas is finished. And instead of looking back, we're now all, no doubt, looking forwards. We're looking forwards to longer days as the light slowly breaks back into our lives and the dark begins to retreat. We're looking maybe towards Easter or summer holidays and thinking, oh, what will I be doing when I go away on my summer holiday or my Easter holiday? Or maybe some other holiday that you take outside of school times. We're looking to all that this year might bring. And for some of us, that might mean a refocus on health. Maybe we overindulged at Christmas. Maybe there were one or too many mince pies eaten in your house. And we've resolved to lose those extra pounds by the time we get into our Speedos and our summer holiday. Maybe we were ill over Christmas. I was. And we're trying to regain the health we lost. We're trying to build our energy back up. Maybe we've had a recent health scare and we're trying to get our health back on the straight and narrow. Whoever we are, whatever stage in life we're at, being healthy is where we should, I suppose, want to be. We might not be athletes. Most of us aren't. We might not be young anymore. I know I am not young anymore. But we can all aim to be relatively healthy for who we are and what stage of life we're at. And if that's a good aim for each of us individually, it's also a good aim for the church. You may have noticed that churches come in all sorts of shapes and sizes, as human beings do. Some churches are small, maybe a small house church of just five people or less. Some churches are very large with hundreds or thousands of people that are part of that church. Some churches have been established for hundreds or maybe thousands of years. Some churches are new church plants that maybe started last week. Churches are all different, but those differences don't really say much about them. We should note, shouldn't we, that big is not necessarily better and that small is not necessarily more beautiful. We should know that new is not necessarily the best and old and established doesn't necessarily say anything either. Whatever a church looks like, whatever its history, what we should all be aiming for is health. We should be aiming to be healthy. We should want to be healthy. We should want to be fit for purpose. And we should want to remain so. But what is, therefore, a healthy local church? What are the markers of health? Well, one group of churches in the UK have been thinking this through, and I thought the conclusions they came to, the headings, the top line issues, were helpful and important. So we're going to explore those over the next few weeks. We're going to be thinking what a healthy gospel church should look like. And we'll be thinking about three facets each week, which will add up, therefore, to nine. We will have these three facets each week. These markers of health are what we should be aiming for as a church. It'll, of course, look different in some ways to other churches that are different from us. Churches all look different, don't they? But we should be prioritizing these things and keeping going with them if we want to be healthy and if we want to stay healthy. Now, let me just quickly say that we shouldn't confuse the word healthy with perfection. Let's not do that. We're talking in these times about health, about things being in the right priority and in the right order, but we're not talking about perfection. This is not an opportunity for us to be down on ourselves. It's not an opportunity to compare ourselves against another church somewhere that we might know about and think we're failing because we're not like that perfect church. Instead, this is an opportunity for us to reflect on what Scripture teaches and to seek to respond to what the Bible calls us as a church to be and to grow in that. We're not demanding perfection as if that were possible. But instead, we're looking for health, which any church, big, small, young or old, can have, can aim for, and can seek to grow in. And we all know, of course, that health is something that we can't take for granted. We need to keep vigilant. We need to keep at it to remain healthy. So the same is true of the local church. So where do we start? Well, you'll see the three headings in the outline on the order of service will help you follow. The first thing we need to start with is that healthy churches are made up of healthy Christians. Healthy churches are made up of healthy Christians. You may have heard of the phrase, more than the sum of its parts. I wonder if you've heard that before, that something is more than the sum of its parts. Sometimes it's used to refer to a team. Maybe it might be your football team. The players are not that impressive individually. In fact, you may think they're pretty rubbish. But somehow, together, as a team, they're better than all these individual players. Together, there is something more. Well, when we think about the church, we might sometimes be able to say that. But I don't think that is the sign of health. But what we can say is that a healthy church is never less than the sum of its parts. In other words, you can't have a healthy church unless it's made up of healthy Christians. A healthy church must be made up of healthy Christians. Not perfect Christians. Not super amazing Christians. But Christians who are healthy, spiritually speaking. And a good picture of healthy Christians can be found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 that we read out a few moments ago. It's a picture of people who have received God's word, his gospel, with joy. And as they receive that word, it leads to three things. Firstly, you see it in verse 3 that they have faith, that they trust in Jesus and serve the true and living God, which is obvious and clear and is said to be, as we see in these verses, an example to others. Secondly, they love others, especially other Christians. And then thirdly, they hope in Jesus Christ, looking to his return and trusting that he will save them from the judgment they deserve. Now, of course, we could say lots more about what a healthy Christian is in much more detail. But as a summary picture, I think these are key things to grasp. Healthy Christians are those who hear the gospel and respond to it in faith. They respond by repenting of sin and seeking to obey God. And they turn then to seek to love others, especially other Christians in the local church. And they have hope in Jesus and the future salvation that is ours in him. That's a very basic picture of a Christian, isn't it? I trust you all know that picture. But let me ask you, is that a picture that could describe you? You might know it in your head, but does it describe you spiritually? If yes, then let me encourage you. As you seek to live for God, as you seek to grow in being like Jesus, don't let these basics drift from the picture. However you grow, let this picture be the outline, the foundation of your Christian life. That you have faith in Jesus, that you love others, and that you have hope in his coming salvation. If this picture doesn't reflect who you are spiritually, let me encourage you. Whatever you think the Christian life is about, seek to recenter yourself on the gospel message found in the Bible. The message of Jesus and the promise of salvation from sin. And seek to respond in faith, trusting in Jesus, turning away from wrong patterns, and seeking to honor and worship the real God. Seek to love others, and do so as you look forward to the hope we have in Jesus, a hope of deliverance from sin and mercy at the coming judgment. Friends, if we want our church to be healthy, and to keep being healthy, we need first to seek to be healthy Christians ourselves. So we've all got a responsibility in this. A healthy church is made up of healthy Christians, those who hear and respond to the gospel rightly. Well, if the local church is made up of healthy Christians, then they will be those who see the importance of God's word, and they therefore should be those who want to receive healthy Bible preaching, which takes us to our second marker of faith. Healthy churches have healthy preaching. Healthy churches have healthy preaching. Now, I wonder if you've seen the TV program or the TV series All or Nothing. All or Nothing. It's a sports documentary program that is on Amazon Prime. And it follows the ups and downs. It's one of these sort of fly-in-the-wall documentaries that follows the ups and downs of sports teams over a season. I think they've done British teams. I think they've done Tottenham Hotspur, Arsenal, and Man City. And they've also done some American football teams as well. And I think they've done Juventus and maybe some German teams too. And it's sort of one of these things, you see lots of fly in the wall. You see the ups and downs, the dramas of the season and how it goes. And part of the dynamic in these programs is the manager and team meetings. Maybe before a match, maybe during the week as they prepare for a match. Or maybe at halftime where the manager comes in and kicks the table and it gets angry with the players and tells them they're rubbish, they need to do better second half or whatever it might be. The manager in those situations is trying to equip and prepare the team to go out and perform. And while it's not a perfect analogy, we see something similar in the preaching and teaching in the local church. Preaching and teaching in the local church family, if it's healthy, will help and equip the whole church to be healthy and to remain so, to go out and serve God that we were called to do in the world. But if the preaching and teaching in the local church is not healthy, then it will do the opposite. It will not help God's people to live godly lives. But you might think, well, that's a big responsibility for the preacher then. Well, that preacher, he's got it all on his shoulders. Because they're the manager, aren't they? They're the one giving the team talks every week. Well, that would be a mistake, friends. Because in fact, the preacher and teacher in the local church is not the manager, which is a wonderful blessing. I am not the manager. The preacher and teacher is instead someone who relays the manager's instructions so the team can be built up. So who is the manager? Well, the manager of the team is the triune God, the Father, Son, and Spirit. So that means that healthy preaching does one essential thing. You ever want to know what healthy preaching looks like? It does one essential thing. It takes God's word and proclaims it to God's people. Like a good waiter in a restaurant, the preacher and Bible teacher who seeks to preach in a healthy way takes the food from the kitchen, from God, and takes it to the table. And that's it. That's it. You proclaim the word. You preach it to God's people. You're a waiter passing on the message, passing on the tasty dish of God's word, and hopefully not ruining it as you get from the kitchen to the table. And that, of course, is what Paul called Timothy to do in our reading earlier in the service. Scripture, according to Paul, is this: all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And what is Timothy to do with that scripture? Well, listen on in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. I charge you, Paul says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom. So that's a pretty big thing to be charged in front of, isn't it? Verse 2. Preach the word. Proclaim it, you might say. Teach it, preach it, declare it. Be ready in season and out of season, i.e. all the time. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. So that's what healthy preaching looks like. Taking God's word and proclaiming it and applying it to God's people. Now, of course, we can make the easy mistake that a particular form of preaching, is healthy preaching and that any other form or style is unhealthy. We can be quite like this, can't we? In the world of YouTube and podcasts, we like some preaching and we don't like others. But it's not necessarily because one is healthy and one's not. It's because we like the style of one and not the style of another or form of another. But preaching comes through unique individual people who preach differently, doesn't it? I suppose it's like art. It's like artists, or maybe like a journalist who's covering a story, or an artist who's painting a scene. They may all be different. Maybe you read newspapers and you read the same story and you read three or four different newspapers and it seems very different. They structure their stories differently. Or you think of artists who paint a scene and you take four different artists and you get four different paintings. Some will be good because they're good artists, some maybe not so good because they're not very good artists. Some will be different styles because they take different approaches. Some will be expressionist, some will be a sort of classical realist or whatever it might be. But if they take the image and they represent it to their audience, then they're doing their job. So healthy preaching proclaims God's word faithfully, whatever the particular style or form of the preacher. So for example, some people might preach for 20 minutes. Some people might preach for an hour. Maybe be thankful that I don't preach for an hour. Some people will preach in very evocative terms. Some people won't. People preach in all sorts of different ways. But healthy preaching takes God's word and proclaims it to God's people, whatever the form or the style of the preacher. And the reason that such healthy preaching is needed is this. Back in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. For, Paul says, the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. But having itching ears, which is a wonderful picture, isn't it? They've got itching ears, looking for other things. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. It's a terrible picture, isn't it? People with itching ears, wanting to hear things that aren't true, wanting to listen to myths, and then getting preachers and teachers to give them what they want. We need to hear healthy preaching so that we're guarded from such things. I wonder if you've maybe known people who look for preaching that is imaginative, dynamic, powerful, contemporary, and they don't look for preaching, firstly, that is faithful and healthy. Now, of course, imaginative preaching, dynamic preaching, powerful preaching, contemporary preaching, those are not bad things. But if we look for those things firstly, then we're not looking for healthy preaching, but religiously flavored TED Talks. We need to be looking for healthy preaching, faithful preaching, to equip us and guard us against heresy and ungodly living. And that preaching takes God's word, it takes this, and proclaims it to you. You might say it's thrown out at you. The ideas of the preacher aren't given to you. The ideas of God's word is given to you. So let me ask you, friends, no, let me beg you. Please, please, please pray for all those in our church family who preach and teach. We need your prayers. I need your prayers that we would proclaim God's word to you, so that through healthy preaching and teaching, we might be established and sustained in health as a local church. Will you pray? Will you partner with us in the gospel work of healthy preaching? Will you help us as we labor in preaching and teaching? And secondly, will you also be committed to healthy teaching? Don't be the sort of person who comes looking for other things, who has itching ears, looking for things that aren't true. Be someone who wants to hear faithful preaching. Be someone who wants to hear God's word. And if you think that the preacher hasn't proclaimed God's word to you, gently, kindly speak to them about it. ask them what they meant. Encourage them to keep preaching God's word. If you hear them preaching God's word well, encourage them in it. Thank them for it so that they would keep doing it. If we want healthy Christians who want to hear God's word preached healthily, then we must be committed to it, friends. And if we are such people, then we will also be people, therefore, that want to worship God in a healthy way. Because, of course, that is what the whole of health in the Christian life looks like. It is a turning from worship in one direction to worship in the right direction. We heard that in 1 Thessalonians, didn't we? We turn from worshipping idols to worship the true and living God. So that takes us to our third heading. Healthy churches have healthy worship. Healthy churches have healthy worship. So churches, don't they, gather. You may have noticed, we're here on a Sunday. We've gathered. We're a team. We're a community that gathers. We're a family that gathers. But we don't just gather to hear teaching from God's word, like a team meeting. We gather to worship. What happens when we gather isn't just education. It isn't just encouragement, which it should be those things. But it is also worship. When we engage with God on the terms that he sets down, according to writer David Peterson, or according to one other writer, worship is a supernatural event. It is a supernatural event. We're called to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And if that is true of every Christian, then it's surely the calling of God's people as they gather. We are to worship God in all of life, and we are to worship God and enjoy him together as we gather. So the healthy worship of God's people must start with that assumption. When we gather Sunday by Sunday to worship God, we gather to meet with God. We are meeting with God right now. And the worship on Sunday isn't just singing. And maybe you've heard that before. We're now going to get back to worship as we stand and sing. Or we really enjoyed the worship at that church. And what they mean is they really enjoyed the singing at that other church. But the worship of God's people isn't just singing. It's all that we do together. The readings from God's word, the prayers, the sermon, and the listening that's going on right now. All of it is worship. God speaks to us in word, sermon, and sacrament, and we respond to him in prayer and praise. This is a time of worship. And if that is so, then how should we think about what we do as we gather? If we come to worship God, then what we want to be doing here is pleasing him. And if we're to please him as we worship, then we must listen to his words. For God's word is our sure guide to our gatherings. It regulates and forms and tells us what we're to do when we gather. And that is a serious thing, as you might know from Leviticus chapter 10. Maybe you don't know that story, where Nadab and Abihu, or Abihu, the sons of Aaron, think it's a great idea to get creative in worship. They go and offer unauthorized fire. And they are consumed by fire and die for this wrong worship. Clearly, we worship the way God wants, not the way we want. And that's also clear in the second commandment. Maybe you know your Ten Commandments really well. You think if we worship only one God and we're not to make idols. And in that second commandment, it tells us that we worship God the way he wants to be worshipped. We are not to get creative and say, oh, here, I've made an idol to worship. The looks here is a picture of the triune God. Let us worship the idol of the triune God that I've made up. No, we don't do that. We never, ever, ever worship in a way that God doesn't want us to worship. We worship the way God calls us to. So what then does God's word say about our worship? We could say a lot here, but I'm just going to say a few things briefly. Firstly, we're not to neglect gathering. That is probably the most important thing we need to hear. We are not to neglect gathering with God's people to worship, with the express purpose that as we gather to worship the living God, that we would encourage each other. Hebrews 10, 25. You can look that up later. So gathering to worship is good for us as we encourage one another. I wonder if you ever thought about that. You're a bit down. You've had a bad week. You get up on Sunday morning, you think, oh, what's the point of me going to church? Well, let me encourage you, friends. Being at church is an encouragement just by you being here. It's a wonderful encouragement. You can look around left and right and you think, oh, there's so-and-so. They're singing. They're praying. They're listening. And that's an encouragement, isn't it? I'm not by myself. I'm not fighting the fight of the spiritual life by myself. I'm with other brothers and sisters. They've got my back. I've got theirs. I'm here to help them. They're here to help me as we worship the living God. Secondly, as we gather to worship, we're clearly to hear God's word preached. That's a very obvious thing we've already looked at. But we're also to hear it read. In 1 Timothy 4:13, we hear this. Devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. So to read Scripture is important in our gatherings. Paul also tells us in Colossians that we're to let Christ's word dwell richly in us. We're to teach and admonish each other. And we're to sing to God. We're all to play our part in gathered worship. We see that in 1 Corinthians 12. Some will preach, some will read, some will lead. We will all pray, we will all sing, we will all listen. Our times together should not be chaotic either. Maybe you've been in church services, which frankly seemed chaos. You didn't know what was going on. But they're to be carried out, Paul tells us, decently and in order. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40. They should also be evangelistic, so that when someone comes into one of our gatherings to worship, as we worship, they know that we really do believe it, that God is among us. 1 Corinthians 14:24 to 25. We could say much more of our times of gathered worship, but for now let us see that healthy worship, gathered worship of God's people, is us as a people engaging with God the way he wants us to. Let us be those who do what God calls us to do as we gather, so that we might be encouraged, that we might be built up as we worship the living God. As we gather this morning, as you drove here today, as you're sitting here right now, is that what we're aiming to do? There are lots of good reasons to gather on a Sunday with God's people, to catch up, spend some social time with each other, hear how people are doing. We could go on. There are lots of good reasons to gather with God's people. There are lots of joys and encouragements that we can receive. But friends, the primary reason when we gather should be to worship the living God. And to do so the way he makes clear in his word. Is that true of you? Did you come here to worship? That is what healthy worship is. Seeking to worship the true and living God. And it's what we should seek to pursue it and grow in if we're to be a healthy local church. To be people who come wanting to please our Heavenly Father, who love coming together to worship him. We should want to be friends, and continue to be a healthy local church. So let's aim to do that. Let's be healthy Christians. Let's prioritize healthy preaching and teaching. And let's be healthy in our gathered worship together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd help us as we seek to be a healthy church. Sometimes it's easy to feel frail. It's easy to feel small. the Heavenly Father, whatever sort of church is in this world, whatever small, larger, or whatever, we can all be healthy. We can all be in line with your word. We can be healthy Christians. We can listen to healthy preaching. And we can be committed to healthy worship Sunday by Sunday. Help us, Heavenly Father, to do these things, not in our own strength, but in reliance on your Spirit as we listen and dwell upon your word. Help us, we pray, in your mercy and your grace. Amen.